Yo, 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 happy Saturday to your ass, wherever it may be. You're locked into Culture My Pop on thingsdezsays.net. Dez Delgadillo here, doing this new thing before the show that I'm kind of stealing from my buddy Adam Connie before his podcast. He likes to kind of sit down and talk to his friends. And I figure if you listen to the podcast, then you're my friend and I want to talk to you. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this week in the world of comedy. And I want to start off, and I like to do a monologue type of thing, but this week kind of a wrench came into things. So this isn't so much of a monologue, because I got a friend here who's staying over with me over this week. And so I think this is like his first time experiencing the world of live stand-up comedy. And what a way to experience it too, man, with the open mic scene here in L.A. I got my buddy Simon staying here with me. Simon, have you been having a good time so far in L.A.? He hates it, man. He hates it. He hates being in LA. He hates the open mic scene. So, like, dude, is this like, because I know you're a fan of like Jim Jefferies and comedians like that. What's your take on like watching all these amateur comedians who have been at it for like less than a year starting to try and be funny? Are they not funny to you? Do you like shake your head in disapproval? This is sad things. Simon was just in the back the whole time wagging his finger like a British person. Yes, I do not approve of it. Like Thaddeus Griffin. That's kind of what he was doing. But we've been having a good time, and I've been taking Simon out to a couple open mics. I've been trying to work my shit in, as you do in the comedy scene, trying to work out some stuff and also polish off some jokes that you know work and always make people laugh. And the point is to add stuff and make them laugh even harder. And I think that's where a lot of comedians who are starting out fall kind of short, is when you have a joke that gets a laugh, it gets people going, you just kind of leave it and you just go to that joke whenever you can. But what I do is I always take the joke and I always see what else I can do with it to make it even funnier, whether if that's like adding something new or saying it differently, adding or subtracting a swear word from the punchline. All of this, man, all like the cadence and the amount of syllables that you put into something, it's very different. So I think that's why the open mic scene is so important, and that's why in LA it's you see people struggle so much, man. It's a hard thing to do. But anyway, we've been going all over the place, and I did a show a couple days ago, and that's really what I wanted to talk about, kind of my overall topic for the monologue, if you will, this week, is not so much to the comedians, but to the fans of comedy. People who are, you know, I do a lot of bar shows. When you're an amateur comedian, you do any place that'll book you. And oftentimes that's a bar in the middle of nowhere. This time I got booked in a bar in Hollywood. So that was kind of in the middle of somewhere. But usually getting booked in bars where the people are usually there to drink. They're not really paying attention to you. Sometimes they hate you, depending on how drunk they are. And that's fine. You're a comedian. You're the entertainment. You got to expect to get judged and treated in a certain manner because you're the booked talent. That's fine. You go in there with the expectation. So if you're a fan, or if you're out there, you're patronizing a bar, good for you, man. You're contributing to the economic cycle of things. I'm happy for you. I like that you're doing what you're doing. You can heckle me all you want. That's fine. And I need to practice anyway, because I need help with my improvisation and my riffing and spontaneity and things like that. My problem with people who are at bars is the way I see you treat your staff, man. Yeah, the bartenders, the waiters. If you go to a comedy club, you know, you have a lot of waitresses who are trying to get into comedy. So they're waitressing or waiting to rough it and make a living through it. And I watch people who more than obey the 2-drink minimum, who are so rough on these poor wait staff, man, on these poor bartenders, treating them like they are making the decisions. They have pull around there. And that's, come on, man. You want to heckle somebody, take it out on me. Take it out on the guy who's on stage. He's asking for attention. These bartenders want to be unseen. They don't want your attention. They don't want to be the brunt of your jokes. And as a comedian, you know, you're pretty much conditioned to leave the staff alone. You, as a comedian, you and the staff are working together to give these customers, your audience, the best experience that you can. But it's up to the the customers to be a part of that cycle, man. You got to be a part of this. You want everybody to have a good time, including yourself. Don't give your staff a hard time, is what I'm saying. Basically, the message here is be a nice fucking person. Don't be an asshole when you go to a comedy show. You just hang out. Be cool. Be cool to people, and they'll be cool to you, and you're going to have a good time at the show. That's all I'm saying. That's my message to you. It's a public service announcement from your man, Des Delgadillo. Now let's talk about what I learned in comedy this week. What I learned in comedy this week is energy is important. If you're at a show, negativity is going to kill you, man. If you're at a show and there's a bad vibe going on, maybe there's a really drunk guy in the front row, a really bad heckler, what you need to know is the energy can change because of you. If you're the next person on the bill and the person before you had a really bad time, that doesn't mean the show's over. The show's not done because you're the next guy, so the show is now on your shoulders. And the opportunity to turn the momentum is on you. Comedy's all about momentum, my man. Comedy is all about changing things, making things feel good for people. You go into a show as an audience member, you had a terrible day. The comedy show is supposed to change the momentum of your day, make you feel better when you walk out of there. You laughed, you had a good time, you had a few drinks, you feel a little warm and tingly inside, and now you're going to go home and be promiscuous with your loved one. It's a good time for everyone. Same thing for the comedian. You're up there, the person before you had a terrible job. It's your turn to go up there and turn it around. You can always change the momentum. Don't ever go up there and treat your set like a lost cause. There's no such thing in my mind as a lost cause. You can always connect with an audience. You just got to find the right way to do it. That's my advice to you. That's what I learned in comedy this week. You're never a lost cause. Let's get to the show. We're talking about soccer this week with two people who know a ton about soccer and me on thingsdezsays.net. It's Culture My Pop. Stay with us.
How many times can we make you laugh on Culture My Pop?
Taylor Zimmerman, two for you. Glenn Coco, four for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco.
You're on thingsdezsays.net.
Disneyland or some sort of Doctor Who convention.
The Academy Award goes to.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the Oscars for us.
Indeed. Or the VM, or the video, that one, the music.
Which
awards,
one? The Video Music Awards.
Yeah.
Where someone always does something controversial.
Kanye West will yell at someone.
Kanye West interrupting the doctor would be...
That would be a travesty. You can't do that.
All right. Well, it's Culture My Pop. It's Dez. It's Faraz, the baby ghost. And Steve is still off at the blind people convention, so we needed a fill-in. I thought we can't just do it by ourselves again. So we brought on the man... Former host of the show. I don't even know how to introduce this guy, but he knows about soccer and stuff. Rudy's here.
Hello, everybody.
He's in the same room as me, but he's on the phone because of Twitter face.
Twitter face.
He intervened again. He was gone for a long time, dude. He wasn't around for a while, but he decided to rear his ugly head.
Wait, is that me or Twitter face?
Both of you.
You're a jerk.
Mainly you.
Rudy's here for a couple of reasons, but the most important one happened just before the show. I have a huge announcement to make. Rudy, I think you can make the announcement. It's going to shock everyone. I think you should tell us all.
That's right, everybody. Time has come, and I am now on Twitter. So you can now reference me as @ChinchillaRudy.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. That's right. And I'll actually spell both words for you because there are so many people that don't know how to spell chinchilla. That is C-H-I-N-C-H-I-L-L-A Rudy.
Unless I made it longer, that would suck.
I was gonna say, you forgot
the underscore, but that's fine.
No,
there's no longer an underscore. We kind of went over this while you were praying.
The underscore is so 5 minutes ago for us. What are you doing? Are you paying attention over there? Are you going through like lapses in your mental functions because of Radamon? Dennis,
sounds like some sort of painkiller.
It sounds like next week's throwback vibes.
It does, doesn't it?
With Dennis Radamon.
Oh, Jesus, no. You should buzz yourself, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway. Yes, at Chinchilla Rudy on Twitter. Follow him. This has been a long time coming, dude. How long has it been?
Oh, years. Literally years.
Yeah, forever, man.
My little sister finally pushed me over the edge. I just accidentally found out she has a Twitter, and I think she has like almost 400 followers, and she's barely been on Twitter for probably a few months. I think since April.
Wow, she has more followers than I do.
Yeah, but
that's because she has breasts, which makes me really uncomfortable.
Indeed. Is her Twitter handle at Chili Willy?
I forget what her Twitter handle is, but I do remember that I thought it was really lame.
Well, full admission, my 15-year-old sister has, I think, like three times the followers that I do. So
that's, I don't know if that's sad or if it's because she likes Justin Bieber and Beliebers follow each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's a code. It's a code, right? It's a Belieber follow code, I think. Something like that.
It's a cult.
So basically.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, at Chinchilla Rudy, follow him. I think later in the show you should compose your first tweet here on the proverbial air.
That's right.
By the time this goes out, he'll have sent 25 tweets. That's fine.
Some people are really good with Twitter. They're very composed and they tweet like one thing a day. For me, it's like if I have a funny thought, my challenge is to articulate it in less than 140 characters. And I must see if I can follow that challenge, you know?
See, my Twitter is just to really vent my anger. That's what it is there for, really.
Dude, you should watch Faraz's Twitter, like, when there's soccer on. So much poorly spelled anger.
That's an Arsenal fan.
Oh!
Don't start. It's too early in the show for all that.
The blades are coming out.
And plus, remember, I'm using my phone right now.
I can't talk though. I can't speak badly about him being an Arsenal fan because I'm an Everton fan. We don't know what victory is like. What a title is. We haven't known what a title is in decades.
Yeah, they haven't won a trophy for 15 years.
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, we handle our business on the pitch. We don't splurge on a bunch of players on Mesut Ozil who are only effective for like 4 months.
Well, you know.
Is this Rudy calling you out? I actually have no idea.
Who finished fourth and who finished fifth?
You guys barely beat us out.
That's not the point. Who finished fourth and who finished fifth? Who won a trophy this season?
I think we make fourth this season. I'm hoping we make fourth. We still need a striker. Romelu Lukaku is
going back to Chelsea.
Well, no one knows. No one knows though, because they just bought Diego Costa, who will under Jose Mourinho probably become an amazing defender.
Yeah, well, I humbly agree.
Very humble. Last time I checked, by the way, 4 is a lower number than 5. Is that still true? I don't know.
The new rules for math are out, and they actually say that 5 is.
What is this new math concept, by the way? Have you read about this?
No.
It's. I wish I knew more about it so I could make fun of it better, but it's very confusing.
Is it like the TOG rating system?
It's very much like the TOG rating system, actually. Ah. And I don't understand that at all. I don't think we do that.
There's a whole Wikipedia article on it.
It is. I looked at it. But it's a stub, though, to be fair.
Well, it is, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some sort of sports tournament happening right now, guys. Not many people are talking about it. You'd be lucky if you can find any mention of it on Twitter at all. The World Cup is happening right now, and I thought since Steve isn't here, and I know nothing of the World Cup or soccer or football, I thought Rudy could come on and talk about it. What the hell is happening?
lots of things are happening in the World Cup. We had just today, we had Argentina beating out
Belgium.
Waffled.
Dark horses. Sure. They waffled Belgium. And later on, we had Netherlands on penalties taking out Costa Rica.
This makes me sad. I like the underdog story.
I know. I'm Guatemalan, so I think like all of Central America was rooting for Costa Rica.
There you go.
Which one is it? Are you going for the boo or the?
The boo. Our producer should be fired. I swear.
You should be.
You should. But then again, you should probably hire someone other than your dog.
My dog is a competent producer. You leave him alone.
It's not his fault the paws get all kind of mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
I shouldn't really be mean to him. He doesn't bark at me like your other dog.
Well, you know, he has four paws. You would think he could hit more buttons.
It depends how he's lying on the controls, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at him. I think that's his problem. Too many paws trying to control too many things at once.
He lacks proper producer dog posture is the problem. It's all right.
Too many paws spoil the broth or something, whatever.
During his performance reveal, I'll have to cut him back to 3 beef bones per week.
There you go.
I think that's the issue. So, anyway, you guys are following
this.
We're
at the semi-final stage of the World Cup. The final four.
Is that good?
It depends which way you look at it. It means the World Cup's almost over, which is sad.
Yeah, it's sad. But, okay.
Hey, don't start. But it also, the best teams allegedly are in the final four. So,
so good it's, soccer.
It has been a very interesting World Cup with a lot of parity. I think a lot more parity than in other World Cups. You've seen these big teams breaking down a little bit, showing a lot of weaknesses. And then you've seen a few underdogs impress and beat a lot of the bigger teams. So it's definitely been an interesting World Cup.
We've also had more goals in this World Cup than we had at the last one in South Africa, which was boring as hell. But
hasn't this been one of the highest scoring World Cups in the history of the World Cup?
Yep, it's been one of the highest scoring World Cups in the history. Like I said, it's already beaten the South Africa one. It beat the South Africa one in the group stages. So
what is the history of the World Cup? Does it have more history than, say, the Fruit Cup?
What the Fruit Cup?
Yeah, you don't know about the Fruit Cup, the tasty little cup of preserved fruits that they give you with your school lunch.
Oh, we never had that here. We had real fruit.
You didn't? Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't have school in England, did you?
No, they had
over there. Oh, that's right. No, but seriously, what is the history of the World Cup? How long has it been a thing?
The World Cup started the first one was in 1930. Won by Uruguay.
That's right. The Maracanazo, right?
The first one was actually held in Uruguay. So the first one was held in Uruguay. So they won that one.
Very suspicious.
Indeed.
I must go back to 1930 and investigate this travesty. I will at some point.
You should. England didn't enter the World Cup until 1950.
When was the Maracanã? I think I'm getting my World Cup history like all
1950
wrong right now.
Was the Maracanã World Cup.
Yeah, and that's when
that's
Uruguay,
when Uruguay beat. Yeah.
Yeah,
they won their second one.
Well, there we go.
Back then, there was not like a tournament format. It was more like a league system. And all Brazil needed to do was win at home in their own house. And they lost to Uruguay. And they still kind of cry about it to this day.
Yeah, it's
still a big deal over in Brazil.
Well, do they have a chance of winning this year?
They do. They're in the final four.
Oh, good for them.
However,
I don't know, though.
Oh, my. They've been absolutely terrible. And I think their best player thus far has been Referinho.
Yes, Referinho has been an amazing human being.
They seriously have had so many calls go their way this World Cup. It's ridiculous.
And it's from players who have not been given the red card and sent to the stands like they should have been, to strange penalty decisions that they've gotten.
Absolutely. And yesterday they won off a David Luiz goal after James Rodriguez got a yellow for tackling Hulk when there was absolutely no contact that I saw on the replay.
There's a player in soccer called Hulk.
He's built like a house.
Yeah,
that's his nickname. I don't think anybody knows him by his birth name. It's just Hulk.
What Brazilians do
is they kind of give their players little nicknames like Ronaldinho and Ronaldo and things like that.
Yeah, but Ronaldinho, I think, just means little. So, like, Ronaldinho really means little Ronaldo.
Yeah, little Ronaldo, and they already had a Ronaldo, so they had to change it.
So
they had the original Ronaldo.
He's like a luchador then. He's like Hijo del Ronaldo, basically.
Indeed.
Okay. I'm just trying to make these things work in my mind, you know. I need to relate them to the synapses, and then maybe I'll understand. Right now, all I think about is Quidditch with feet. That's soccer to me.
Pretty much.
Soccer is football.
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, I call it football because I don't understand how Americans can call football football, because
it depends on how annoying of an American you are. Or you want to call it soccer or football?
The thing is, right? How can you call the NFL football when you use your hands most of the time, predominantly?
No, I agree. And I got to say, soccer is, I don't watch it very often, but it is one of the easiest sports to understand.
Yes.
Like, I like baseball a lot, but admittedly, that's kind of a complicated sport if you know all the rules. Soccer, you can watch it and you know, okay, this guy wants to put the ball in the other guy's hoop there, or goal, or whatever it is.
Hoop.
Yeah, you know. We had, in between his poles, I guess. They have poles in soccer, right?
The posts? They do.
So I want to put my ball in between your poles, and that's kind of, I don't know. If I can kick my ball in between your poles, I did good soccering. All right, that's all you need to understand, right?
There's nothing more to it, but yes.
No, that's all there is.
But as an English person, Faraz, why do you hate us so much for soccer? Because I find myself, and I was telling Dez this earlier, I find myself kind of in the middle where I say soccer because I was raised here in the United States, but I also occasionally find myself saying football because I watch so much Premier League. And even in other leagues where you have announcers, they're usually, from the UK. So what is it?
Whole point of us hating the whole football soccer thing is it is football. Use your feet. The aim of the game is to use your feet. Only the goalkeeper is allowed to use their hands.
Why does it have to be such a big deal?
It doesn't really. It's just a bugbear.
I find that so many British people get warped up over it, like, so hard.
Oh, I say, I am one of those men. I hate it when people call it soccer. It is not soccer.
Literally, so many of the comments that I've seen while, reading stuff on the internet in this World Cup is the United States will never be a world beater until they call it football.
No, that's actually ridiculous.
Why is this a big deal?
That's stupid.
No, you must acknowledge the foot of the game. There are feet involved, and there is soaking.
Again, rugby people call some of their stuff football too, so we have the same argument there.
Soccer was derived from an English term, though.
Yes, it was.
But can we all agree on this at least, though? For the next 4 years, England calls it soccer because at the end of the day, the United States did go farther this time around than England did.
That's not going to happen, but okay. I agree with you, though.
The international pact.
That the English are forced to call it soccer for the next 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
That should be a bet. Like, in the next 4 years, they should formally, the president and the prime minister should meet and shake on it.
The UN can sanction it?
Yeah, I don't think the president would meet with the queen because she's too, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah. Although it could be like a sport, you know? British people like sportsmanships and bets.
No, we don't.
That's true. There's nothing sportsmanlike about them.
Yeah.
So the final four. Do we still have to deal with ties in the final four? That's one thing I hate about soccer.
No, there's no ties now.
Oh, good. So they can just play forever?
No, it's straight. No. What happens is it's they play the 90-minute game. If they're tied, they'll play an extra 30 minutes, and then they'll go to penalty kicks. There will be a winner.
So they just kick until it goes in?
No. Penalties are kind of like it's one-on-one. You have the keeper and you have a player.
Exactly. And you have each team gets to take 5 penalties. And once you've scored, you know, more penalties before you run out of 5 than the other team, then you get the win. But occasionally,
if it's 5-5, then it just goes to sudden death. Whoever scores and if the other one misses, that's it.
And after that, you just go, you know, with your other players until, yeah, like Fraz said, until one misses. And what is the record for most penalty kicks taken in a single game?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's something like 22, 21.
Yeah. Last year in one of the Premier League, was it the FA or the League One playoff, or was it the Championship playoff where I think they went, I forget how many penalties they shot.
It was the League One playoff. League One playoff.
That was exciting.
It was. And that's the thing about penalties. It's really exciting. Unless England play, in which case it sucks.
England has not won a penalty shootout since when, Fred?
Never. Since 1996, sorry.
Wow.
And that's not just World Cup. That comes every 4 years. That is including the European...
The Euros. Yeah, the European Championship.
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
It's another thing that England sucks at.
Pretty much.
By the way, we can keep talking about soccer, but speaking of things that England sucks at, England sucks at getting sunshine for us. Is that correct?
No, not recently.
Well, you're not having very good luck then. Explain to me the rules of Ramadan. Isn't the rule of Ramadan that you cannot eat until sundown?
Correct.
But usually in England, okay, you don't get sun.
You're a cheater, Fred.
You're cheating.
No, not really, because the sun technically does come up. We just don't see it.
Well, I mean...
But then if the sun comes up and no one's around to see it, does it really come up?
Oh, it's one of those philosophical questions that we all ask ourselves.
Indeed. It is something that we ponder many a time in England.
Indeed.
It's
like a ridiculous, it's like 2:40, it's 2:45, and then I'll be able to eat again now at 9:21 tonight.
Do you have it down to the minute?
Yep.
Wow.
Des and I have decided is that you're weak, Fraz, because I am currently out Ramadaning you.
Boom.
Okay.
You
explain? I have gone thus far, and let me do my math here. What is 48, Des, plus 17, almost 18?
65.
I have gone 65 hours
thus far without eating a thing.
Have you had a drink?
I have had
water.
There you are. You lose, because I'm not allowed to have water either.
So what? You do it less than 24 hours.
You still had a drink. You still got something in your system.
You have angered Allah, Rudy.
But it's not that hard to not drink, Fraz. Do you want me to out Ramadan you? Is this a challenge?
No.
Go 24 hours without a drink just to make fun of you?
Not really.
Well, if you want to see if Rudy can follow through with this challenge, you now can at Chinchilla Rudy on Twitter. Yeah. That's right. He can update you on his exploits there.
Now, if you end up in the hospital, I'm not going to be held responsible.
What? You think I can't make it 24 hours? You think you're better than me, Fraz?
I don't think. I know I am.
Oh.
Damn. That's a challenge.
It is on, like, Michelle.
Unfortunately, you're not better at me, better than better me at me? The World Cup.
Well, he's no, better I'm, at you.
I'm still stuck on Twitter talk. Chinchilla Rudy.
Boom.
See, he's getting the plugs down, too. Yeah,
he hasn't even made a tweet yet, and he's doing he knows
to be
his craft,
fair
man.
You can't be better at me than the World Cup because I don't support a team in the World Cup.
Do you are you so disillusioned by England that you don't support them?
I stopped supporting them after the 2006 World Cup.
And that's pretty much all of England though, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So why does England even bother going now? It's like, is it like Disneyland? They just know that they'll be there for a while.
They have to do the qualifying thing. They qualify, so they go.
Yeah.
But I mean, Fraz, you have so much infrastructure in England. You guys have supposedly the best football soccer league in the world. Why are you guys such perpetual failures at the World Cup?
You got to remember, Rudy, all the players in the Premier League that play in the big teams are not English.
And one of the things that your FA has tried to do is limit how many foreign players can play in a given team.
You've got to have something like 7 homegrown players, however, comma.
Okay, go on.
How do you fix the issue? How do you fix English football, Fraz?
There's no way to fix it because it's a matter of coaching. And the academy system, what they do is they just take the flair and the thing out. They coach them too much, if that makes any sense. So you know how people like in Brazil?
I don't think they coach them too much. I just don't think they coach them on the essentials enough.
Well, no, it's not that. They coach them too much. As in, you know how people like Messi and Neymar and Ronaldo, they play with, like, they use their instincts. They just use their natural ability.
Right. So you're saying it's too structured.
It's too structured. They take the fun out of the game for me in this country. That's one of the main issues, because they put them straight into academies when they're 8, 9, 10 years old.
That sounds very American, what you just said.
Structure it so much that the fun gets taken out of it. And then when you come to playing major tournament football, they just put them, and it's a part of the press too and the media, they put so much pressure on these players that you're doomed to failure as soon as you start.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel that a lot of England's failings are due to the media and a lot of times the fans, because I feel like, you know, maybe the English media and the English fans don't know as much about football as they think they do, because they're always praising it. I always see a lot of praise for guys that run hard, and I feel like you can run hard all you want, but if you're not doing something with the ball, something constructive with the ball, what will running hard help you achieve?
Burns carbs.
I agree with you, and it's also a thing that when a player gets big, as in they're the next big thing or whatever, the future of England, they get put on a pedestal, and they're paid so much money at a young age that they just lose the passion to play for England. It's not like, and I'm going to give an example, David Beckham is one of my favorite players that played for England because he loved playing for England. He was on so much money, and he wasn't the most talented footballer in the world, but he loved playing for England. No matter what happened, he would always turn up. And when he was captain of England, you could tell there was passion there. Now, when players turn up for England, apart from Steven Gerrard,
yeah, they just don't want to play. Terrible World Cup.
Well, he is 33 years old now. It's one of those. So, you know, he can't do it all on his own.
He would have been better served with Gareth Barry on the squad.
Being an Everton fan, you would say that. But
No. But not just as an Everton fan, though. I mean, there was a lot lacking in the midfield. I think, again, it's what I was mentioning earlier. Your English players run a lot, but sometimes you lack that person to slow down the pace and kind of pick out.
I think the thing is, England. I agree with you. The midfield was a bit lacking, and the center of defense wasn't that great either. But what they were missing on the wings was someone like a Theo Walcott. And again, I'm not being an Arsenal fan. It's just they were missing that pace. They needed that pace. They needed someone to drive at the wing. Not like a James Milner or Wayne Rooney doesn't need to be playing on the left-hand side of midfield. It just doesn't work that way. He's not a striker. He's not a left-sided player. He needs to be playing behind the striker and playing as a number 10, not on the wing. So they were missing a Theo Walcott. Yes, I give you that Raheem Sterling is a prospect, but...
I think Raheem Sterling had an absolutely wonderful World Cup, though.
I agree with you, but that he was the only one. Him and Sturridge, that's it.
Sturridge was all right.
They're the only two bright spots of an England.
I think he was out. I think Raheem Sterling outshone Sturridge.
I agree with you. And and England made the biggest mistake, and I hate this player with a passion, is they left out Ashley Cole. That was a really, really bad mistake.
I disagree, though. And again, you can say that this is me as an Everton fan, but I just felt like, especially against England, you had Danny Welbeck on the left. He sucks. Frankly, I don't know why the English media seem to love him so much.
No, we don't.
Manchester United player.
No, no, we don't love him. That's why I'm saying we were missing a Theo Walcott, because Theo Walcott would have been playing where Danny Welbeck was.
But he got a lot of people, from what I saw, there was a lot of praise for Danny Welbeck at this World Cup. And again, I'll go back to my point. There was just no coverage especially against Italy, for Leighton Baines on the left. And
yeah, but remember, the left hand side was where Marquisio was getting all that space.
I'm getting at. There was no coverage for him.
No, I agree with you. Wayne Rooney,
the midfielders weren't doing
their job. I agree with you. Wayne Rooney was not covering back when he should be. But again, he wasn't playing in the right position. And they tried to move him when they were playing Uruguay. But again, that failed too.
No, and I agree with that. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think it was necessarily Ashley Cole. I think Ashley Cole would have been screwed just the same.
Ashley Cole has some amazing games against people like Ronaldo on his own. So it's a matter of an opinion, because I think Ashley Cole has the experience to deal with that at a major tournament. That's the only reason I would have said I would have taken him.
Okay, well, what we'll agree on is that England continues to be a failure at the international stage. Should they, one final question regarding England, should Roy Hodgson stay on?
Yes. He should. Why? Because he's trying to bring in the youth. The whole point of this World Cup was he was bringing in younger players, trying to give them an experience. People like Gerrard and Lampard are not going to be around forever. It's time for people like Wilshere and Rodwell and people like that to step up now. And not Rodwell, Ross Barkley. Sorry.
Barkley, my friend, Barkley. Don't forget Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley is going to be the future of England. Him and Jack Wilshere are going to be in the center of that midfield. It's about time they start picking these players. Adam Lallana is another one who's going to be a big star.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree as well with you about Hodgson staying on, but he definitely has to bring, a little more variety and tactics to the England squad.
I completely agree with you. Now, the other surprise was, in this World Cup, was the failure of the Spanish team.
Those Spanish. Failing at everything they try.
Des, they came in as defending world champions.
Well, the only thing that they succeeded at was invading England in 1588.
Yeah, and they even failed at that because they left pretty promptly.
Indeed.
I thought we're not nerdy stuff. What's going on? You should bug yourself.
Sports. We can talk about nerd stuff. Dude, we have the nerd characters on this show. Come on. I mean, they're not characters. They're nerds.
They're real.
Yeah, they're real. They're not fake.
We're not allowed to talk about the fake sport.
The shenanigans with the tights and...
All right, let's go back to Spain. What happened for us?
They're getting old. That's basically what it is. They're getting old.
A lot of it was Vicente del Bosque. He has his guys, and I feel like he lined up his tactics so wrong. I think he tried to form the team around Diego Costa, who had, by the World Cup, probably been with the team only 4 weeks.
But in theory, they don't have any other strikers. Torres is completely out of form.
David Villa
is 33.
David Villa brings so much to the squad. Even if you don't bring him on for 90 minutes, I don't see why he was never brought on in the first two games.
No, I agree with you. I think he should have been brought on instead of Torres, but that's just a preference. And again, they should have taken Llorente at least.
Oh, absolutely. I was so surprised about that. you know, over, and I get, then again, I'll say it, it's, a lot of it was Vicente del Bosque. He has his guys that he will not get out, and, you know, Torres is one of those guys.
Well, and PK is not the quickest in the world.
No, but I feel like he was scapegoated this time around.
I don't know. I'm a Barcelona sympathizer, so I agree with you. I think he was. I think Casillas has a lot to answer for.
Here's the thing. I'm a Barcelona fan, and I recognize how badly Piqué has played in probably the last 2 years. But Ramos played just as bad, maybe even worse. And he and both of them were playing badly, but at least Piqué could have brought playing from the back onto the Spanish team, which Ramos doesn't know how to do.
No, Ramos is a but what Ramos does bring is height. That's the thing with Ramos. He can yeah, his job is to
head the ball. As he can.
Yeah, but he's better in the air than Piqué. That's the thing.
That's true.
And remember, Xavi is 34 years old now. Xavi can't do the things he was doing 4 years ago.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the things that when they kept him off against, who was it?
Chile.
Was it Chile? I think it was Chile they kept him off. They kept him on the bench. I don't see why they never brought on Koke earlier. I don't think they put him on until the last game, the throwaway game against Australia.
No, they didn't. And again, it's the same with Santi Cazorla. It's not just me being an Arsenal fan. He did more in 10 minutes than a lot of the Spanish players did in 80 against Chile.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw a lot of people giving Nacho or was it Silva? Yeah, Chino Silva a lot of flack. But I thought he did well enough, and I thought his strikers let him down. And over
it's
on the right,
Iniesta.
I thought...
Iniesta played some amazing football, but again, he's... passes just weren't getting to the players that they should have been getting to. I'm a big Iniesta fan. I think he's one of the best players I think I've ever seen. But
and
again, he's getting on a bit.
There were so many things wrong with this Spanish squad, and you know, but they'll rebuild. People are saying it's the end of Tiki Taka.
No,
I disagree with that so much. It seems like people don't know what Tiki Taka is anymore. It seems like people think Tiki Taka is Arsenal football. No offense, but what I'm getting at is just a lot of passing without much incisive movement, and that's why I don't think it's fair to call what Spain played Tiki Taka. They played a lot of possession football, but it wasn't Tiki Taka.
Well, isn't that a fairy tale about an adorable rodent?
Yes, tiki-taka is actually a Barcelona thing that started in the La Masia Academy. That's where people like Messi and Iniesta and Fabregas and all these players learned how to play. It's a Barcelona... It's Johan Cruyff's invention that he brought to the Barcelona Academy when he was manager in the early 90s. And then when he came back, one of his other teammates, Frank Rijkaard, implemented it when around 2003 when they had their revolution, when they basically won nothing for about 5-6 years.
And then Pep Guardiola perfected it. And what it is, for those of you who don't know, it's possession football, possession soccer, with a lot of quick passes and a lot of pressure when you lose the ball, and then a lot of incisive runs towards the end, the final third, to try to score goals. And that's why I don't think it's fair to characterize what Spain or Barcelona has played over the past 2 years as tiki-taka, because they've lacked so much to really call it tiki-taka.
Well, ever since Pep Guardiola left, the Barcelona team has become a shadow of itself. I don't want to say they've become horrible. They've just relied heavily on Lionel Messi. That's basically it.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the board. We have such a crappy board now. It's almost embarrassing to be a Barcelona fan.
Well, Barcelona, one of these clubs, they have such a rich tradition, and they kind of got themselves in hot water last season with their transfer dealings with Neymar and the like.
And that's why
it doesn't help the image.
All of it is failings of the board, and it starts about 2 years ago when they get the Qatar Airlines. You know, I think that shows you just how bad this board was going to be when they get the Qatar Airlines sponsorship. It's the first time in what, over 100 years, that Barcelona's had a corporate sponsor on the front of
the
shirt.
No, it's not the first time in 100 years. It is the first time. Period.
It is, yeah, and it just shows you what way this board was veering, and I think they've done so much harm to Barcelona now that I can't wait till 2016 until you get new board elections, or when you get new board elections, and hopefully Laporta comes back.
Depends. I don't know if you will get a new board elected now, because if they buy Luis Suarez and he scores millions of goals.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing. That's another failing, I think, of the new board. Why? I don't think the old board would ever sign a player as controversial as Luis Suarez. And keep in mind that this Barcelona squad, with an absolutely terrible defense, has not bought a single center back.
Exactly. Well, now that Neymar, who is the star of this World Cup, allegedly for Brazil, has a fractured vertebrae.
Fractured vertebrae.
They're going to need another striker.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think they'll try to implement him. There's just a lot wrong with Barcelona right now. But let's shift focus. What about what does England think about the United States run in the World Cup?
A lot of them don't like it. I actually found it really impressive, personally. I am really, really impressed with the quality and the application and the way that Jurgen Klinsmann actually coached this team. It's a very European style, but it has the US passion in it. It's really wonderful to watch. Some of the players, like Fabian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was one of my stars of this World Cup. He played some amazing football at right back for the US. Clint Dempsey, I hate him because he played for Spurs, but again, you know, scored a wonderful goal. Especially against Portugal. You didn't deserve to draw that game. You should have won it.
Yeah, but and here's the thing. There's so many Americans now who are so behind this team because, as you said, they show that American spirit. They show that fighting spirit. You know, you don't give up until the end. But you look at it, and we didn't really have an amazing World Cup. We barely squeaked by Ghana. We bunkered down. We against a pretty weak Portugal side. It has to be said, we tied, and then we against Germany, again, bunkered down, lost 1-0. Same thing with Belgium, lost 2-1 after bunkering down for 90 minutes. And I feel like Jurgen Klinsmann kind of went back on his word. He said he was going to promote attacking football at this World Cup, but we got the same United States as in 2006 and 2010. Maybe we had better finishes to games, more exciting finishes to games, but tactics-wise, I feel there was a lot to be desired by Klinsmann.
I also think I'm surprised that there was a lot of MLS players in the team. Like, I'm surprised that Landon Donovan wasn't picked. That was a big surprise for me. But I think this is an improving team, and I think it's credit to the MLS that you've actually got 23 players, practically. There's not the some that play in Europe that are worthy of playing against people like Portugal. It's a marked improvement. The MLS, to me, isn't a joke league anymore.
And you know, we just signed. It's still unfortunately seen as a retirement league, and I think the recent signings of David Villa and Kaká are not going to help that. You know, improve that image. But as you said, we are having more youth academies set up. We are improving there. But going back to Landon Donovan, one thing he kind of said the same thing. They had him as an analyst on ESPN. And after the World Cup, he kind of said the same thing that I did, where he criticized Klinsmann's lack of attacking mentality. And American fans, I think, unfairly have completely turned their backs on Landon Donovan, our leading goal scorer, our leading assist man. People are saying this is why he didn't bring you on, because you're criticizing him. Oh, this is just sour grapes. Landon Donovan, you suck. You never deserved to go to the World Cup anyway. And I completely disagree with that. I think his claims are valid, or his criticisms are valid, and the only reason people are ignoring them and shunning them and mocking them are because they're coming from a guy who was excluded from that final 23.
I think so. And you've got to remember with Jurgen Klinsmann, he's German, so he's going to be naturally cautious. The efficiency was there. You could see the efficiency in the defense was there from the Americans. But you're right, being a striker and being a really good striker, actually, Jurgen Klinsmann, go and watch some of his earlier stuff. Amazing finisher. You'd think his attacking would be something to be remembered, but it wasn't. You're right. There was some bright spots. I think the loss of Jose Altidore really kind of put them back a bit. Lost a lot of pace up there.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I still think he should have been able to shift some tactics around. You know, the U.S. came into this World Cup playing good, attacking stylish football, and then they just reverted back to their old shell, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to the future for the United States. The next 4 years, I think, are going to be, you know, there are a lot of prospects in the United States playing in a lot of academies. We have players playing in, you know, at Borussia Dortmund, at Arsenal. We have a few players, I think, who are going to bolster the U.S.'s performances and international recognition.
I completely agree.
All right. Well, we're wrapping this thing up, guys, because
Reddit
got boring, so I wanna go home.
Can I just pay tribute to one player before we wrap up? One of my favorite
pay that tribute.
One of my favorite players of all time plays for Italy. He's 35 years old, and I don't think we'll ever see him at a World Cup again. Andrea Pirlo.
He's a legend.
He is an amazing player. I have never seen a player play the way he does. He can conduct a team from either defense or attack. He can play back. He can play forward. No matter where he is, the Italians will give him the ball, and he will orchestrate. He will get them out of trouble,
He looks cool when he's on the ball. He legitimately looks cool.
Exactly. We haven't even talked about Messi, and that's how much
we
haven't.
Why don't we do that quickly? I think Messi has done all right for Argentina. I think Sabella hasn't been quite as good as we would have hoped as a coach for Argentina. I think it's going to really hurt Argentina losing Di Maria. Will they beat Netherlands, do you think?
I hope they beat Netherlands because I want to see a Brazil-Argentina final. I want Messi to cement the fact that he is the best player of this generation.
I agree with that. I too want to see that.
I'm sick of this Messi-Ronaldo argument, who's better, Messi or Ronaldo. For me, it's Messi every single time. There is no player that can do what Lionel Messi does in the world.
He had a down season this past season, but I agree. I think he's been the best for years. I think, and I'm just sick of the argument that unless he wins the World Cup, he won't go down as the greatest or one of the greatest in the history of the sport. That's complete BS for what he's done in Europe. You know, one tournament with 8 games, I don't think defines a player's legacy. I agree. I hope to see Argentina in the final.
And the thing about it is the reason why he's not considered amongst as good as Maradona is because he grew up in Spain in the Barcelona Academy. Mm-hmm. The Argentinians just overtaken him.
They'll resent him.
Yep, they resent him because he grew up in... And they don't realize that he actually had the chance to play for Spain, but he turned them down and said, no, I'm Argentinian. I will play for Argentina.
He won a World Cup already.
Exactly. So I think
what else? Brazil. I don't think they're getting past Germany. I think they've lost Neymar, who was their leading goal scorer, their leading assist man.
They've lost Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva as well. Without Thiago Silva in the middle, you know, David Luiz is nothing. He's so undisciplined. I don't know how PSG is paying him. What is it, 50 million euros or pounds?
50 million euros. It's ridiculous.
50 million euros to play as a defender. Oh, my God. Ridiculous PSG. But, yeah, I don't see Brazil getting past Germany.
No, I think this is it. And Germany with Thomas Müller and my boy Mesut Özil, I think.
But he hasn't played a great World Cup either, though.
No, he hasn't. I agree with you, he hasn't. He hasn't, but you know, there's always Mertesacker at the back. So, you know.
Even for Arsenal. That's true. Even for Arsenal,
He did at the beginning of the season. I think he's still getting used to the Premier League pace. I think it's because, you know, he gets taken off after 60, 70 minutes for Real Madrid every single time. But for us, he's going to play 90 minutes, whether he likes it or not. So he's just got to get used to it.
And I think Arsenal midfielders probably, and we'll go back to the Premier League real quick. Arsenal midfielders have to, you know, start tracking more, start tracking back. I think that was one of their big downfalls, how they, you know, they dropped from first to fourth.
Well, I think
their midfielders let them down.
What hurt us last season was Theo Walcott got injured. Then Mesut Ozil got injured. Then Aaron Ramsey got injured. And Rambo was the best player in the team last year. So when he got injured, we started to struggle. And then Jack Wilshere got injured, but, so we kind of had no midfield.
No, I agree that that you know those injuries played their part, but I do think that the Arsenal players could probably do. It's just like Barcelona, I think they could do a little more to recover that ball. But yeah, that's we'll see. We'll see if Arsenal get that fourth spot this year. That's you guys finally got another trophy that wasn't fourth this
season. Exactly. We need to spend some money this summer. That's basically it.
And for me as an Everton fan, you know, I hope we can balance Europa League and Premier League action. I believe in Roberto Martinez, who has signed a 5-year deal.
Great manager. Fantastic.
And great man. I really like him. We've got Seamus Coleman, who signed on for another 5 years. Leighton Baines has extended his contract as well. We've given new contracts to John Stones, Ross Barkley. So I think the future is looking up for Everton as well.
They're my second team, so I agree with you.
All right, well, if you're a fan of things that you don't understand or names that you can't pronounce, I'm doing comedy this week, so come check it out. You can go to thingsdesays.net/comedy. I've got all sorts of dates coming up, including this week. I'm doing a date on Tuesday at the Pasadena Ice Skating Center for it's a benefit show for an after-school program that keeps the youths off the streets. So you want to keep the kids safe, come support this show. On Wednesday, I'm doing Uncle Lou's Safe Place, Echoes Under Sunset at 9 p.m. And all this stuff at thingsdesays.net/comedy for you, too. We're also on Amazon. Remember to click that affiliate link over on thingsdesays.net. Don't be a stingy bastard. Support the website, and we'll give you the gratification that you get out of helping out an upstart podcast like this. And also, the good feeling you get from not being a dick.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rudy, of course, people want to talk to you on Twitter, at Chinchilla Rudy. They can argue with you about soccer stuff.
Yeah, you can argue with me about soccer, football stuff, about, you know, just about anything. I'll bite. If you have music suggestions, I'll totally look into those. I have one follower right now, people, and with Farazmakes 2. So go ahead and follow me, because I can't live with the fact that my little sister would have more Twitter followers than me.
And Faraz is at The Wisp, THAWISP. I don't know what Steve's been tweeting at the Blind People Convention, but he's at MonkeyPusher69. And remember to subscribe on iTunes. We shouldn't. That's right. He's a bastard being loyal to Twitter face. And he's just, he's not worth it at this point. I don't know when he'll be back, if ever.
What's my first tweet
before we go?
Well, that's right. We got to get Rudy to make a final tweet. I don't know, Rudy. This is it. It's on your shoulders. It's all on you now. What's
Where do I tweet?
I don't even see. Oh. What is going on? Oh my God! Is this it? Do I get to tweet? What do I tweet? Dez, give me something.
This is the moment of truth. This is where it happens. How about a pun? Puns are good.
Okay.
What's one of the puns?
I suck at puns. You need to do a hashtag as well, by the way.
What do you suggest for us?
I don't know.
It's not a tweet if there's no hashtag.
Hashtag things Tim Howard could save this podcast.
I approve of that tweet.
Indeed.
But can I do that? I think I would have to wait for the link for this. For this podcast, I would have to wait to get to the link to this podcast.
What about not even Tim Howard could save this podcast? Hashtag culture my pop.
All right, I'll wait for you to put this up and I'll get the link, and that will be my first.
Ouch! There you go, and maybe even his only tweet. But the only way to find out is to follow him on Twitter at Chinchilla Rudy. Remember, we're on iTunes. Leave us a review. Subscribe. Tell people what you think about us. Get this thing going, man. Get the ball rolling on this show. That was a great pun, considering what we've been talking about. We're out of here. Keep listening. We'll talk to you Monday. And if you don't listen on Monday, Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.